there. God is good, amen. And it's just hard to come off the back of just that story. And it leads, in the same way, it leads right in to the message that I believe God has put into my heart. In Exodus 6:6, remember last year we said that we're going to kick into the new year around Exodus 6:6. We're going to build on Exodus 6:6, 6 verse 6. And we talked about like what God says to Moses, the four I wills. Do you remember them? I will rescue you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you, and I will make you my people. And we're going to build into the future, and we're going to build into the life of liberty. We're going to build into each other's lives this coming year around those four things. God promised Moses, I will rescue you, meaning they were in Egypt, they were in bondage, in slavery, and God says, I'll rescue you. And then he says, I will deliver you, meaning if I got you out of Egypt, now the deliverance process is getting Egypt out of you. And that's what Ashlyn was referring to when she was saying God going into those places of our heart. It's not to torment us. It's to get the old out and what was ruling and reigning, the hurt, the damage of just being living in this world. No matter what it be, God says, I want to deliver you from that. And to redeem you means this, is to set something back to its original intent. See, we quote all the time, God has a plan and a purpose, a hope in the future. It's true. It's true, and his intention is to reset our lives, recalibrate our lives, so that we are in line with the purpose that he made you for. God didn't have a purpose and go, I'll just pick you for it. You are so designed for the purpose of God. You fit. If it was a jigsaw piece and the purpose of God was the big picture, he can fit you. He doesn't have to squash it in. He doesn't have to do this. He delivers us from the things that makes us want to squash in. And he fits us right in to our original intent. And then he makes us, I will make you my people, meaning this, I will make you part of my dream in winning the world. And that's what he did. In the Passover, when Jesus was celebrating the Passover, I hope you all remember this. When Jesus was celebrating the Passover, which was the coming out of Egypt. That's what was the Passover. And by the way, that movie, that Exodus movie, Look of Gods and Kings, that I was telling that was coming out, it's all right. I went to see it. It's about a 6 out of 10. It's all right. He's macho and he's all that, but you just as a movie, I wanted more. I don't go when it's a Bible movie. I don't go to see a Bible story. I know the Bible story. I don't need Hollywood to educate me in the Word. I'm educated in the Word. Yeah. So I go to see a movie. So just as a movie, it's all right. It's there. Three out of five. Anyway. So the celebration of coming out of Egypt was called Passover. So Jesus is at what we would call the Last Supper. He breaking bread, and that was the Passover meal. It was a meal that wasn't just, you know, it was a meal just before his death, but it wasn't just any old meal. It was very precise in on the calendar of Jesus' life, that the Passover lamb that was celebrated, which was a picture of Passover lamb, our Passover lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God. It was so and the same four I wills that was said in Exodus. There's four cups that was celebrated at the Passover. See, we have one cup for communion, but Jesus hadn't got one cup, he had four cups to celebrate the four I wills. The first cup was the cup of sanctification, the coming out of the place. The second cup was the redemption. The third cup was the deliverance. The fourth cup was the cup of praise. And someone says, after four glasses of wine, anyone will have a cup of praise. Everyone will be praising. And you know what? Here's the beauty. The fourth cup, Jesus says, I will not drink of this cup, which was the fourth cup. He says, I will not drink of this cup until the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness. Meaning that he drank the other three, celebrated the four, but drank the other three with the disciples. But he's waiting for the fourth cup. To the lamb's feet, the lamb's bed. We all get to drink the fourth cup of Jesus, the cup of fulfillment, it's called. So over these next months, we're gearing everything towards bringing this into church about rescuing. God wants to rescue the lost. God wants to rescue our family from sin and death and destruction. God wants to do this. God wants to deliver us. He wants your heart healed and my heart healed. He wants me to be moving at my full pelt in the things of God. He wants those things from our lives. Listen, I might be used to press the button, but God wants the pain that button belongs to. You, it's not church, it's you. It's not the person. God will use anybody to get at that because he loves you that much not to leave you in that state. He loves me that much not to leave me the way I am. And some things we look at and we go, no, it's this, 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 and this. No, it's God trying to get at you. It's God's Holy Spirit trying to go into those deep places so we can have redemption. We can have deliverance from the stuff that will keep us from our purpose in God, which is redemption. And I want us to believe today. I want you to get out your phone, if you can. Everyone got a phone? If you haven't got a phone, get a Bible. Or get a biro and pen. A biro and paper. If you haven't got a phone, look to the person beside you and say, I really feel the Lord wants you to give me that iPhone. So has everyone got something to write on? Yeah? You're not convincing me. Put up your hand if you have. Something to write on. Will you write for that person? If you need someone to write something for you, tell them to write it down. I want us to believe this year, going into this year, I want us to believe for rescue, redemption, rescue, deliverance, redemption, and fulfillment. I want us, I will rescue you, says God. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will make you my people. And I was thinking about this morning, and the scripture the Lord put in my heart was Hebrews 11, chapter 11. And if you know Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith, where God names all of the people, well, not all of them, but he names some of the people that by faith stepped into the will of God and accomplished the things that God called them. Now, the reason, one day, I was hoping, I hadn't talked to Mike and Ashlyn, but I was hoping that they would mention the journey of stepping out in faith. I was anticipating that they would say that because I knew that part of the story, but I didn't ask them. You see, I just asked them there. And but as Ashlyn says, they left everything. And by faith, stepped into the purpose and the will of God for their lives. They stepped out and went to a country that is in so much need to give of their lives, to give of their gifts, to give of whatever God has put into them. By faith, Abraham left where he lived. By faith, Sarah believed for a baby even though she was barren. By faith, Noah built an ark where he'd never even seen rain before, let alone a flood. He built that ark knowing that people were going to ridicule him and go, you're off your head. You know, like if God is asking you to step out in faith, one thing that I notice, it's usually public at some level. It's not a private thing. It's not like, Noah, what are you building? I don't know, really. I can't tell you. It's like it's there for everyone to see. It's like he put you out there a little bit. And I want us to go into this year in faith, believing God for something. Believe in God for the rescue of maybe some people that we love. And as I'm speaking, I'm praying that God drops into your spirit the things that you need to believe him for this year. We need to exercise our faith. We need to, can you imagine the growth that Noah had in his personal walk with God to believe God for something that no one ever seen before? Listen to what it says. By faith, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Noah, when he was told about things that he didn't understand, in holy fear obeyed God and built an ark and saved his family. It might be something that you'll see right now. It might be someone who needs rescue in Egypt, that God is going to drop that name into your heart. It might be a movie star. I just love the testimony of, I don't know how to say his name, Shia something. What's his name? Shia LaBeouf? You know who I'm talking about. It's in the Transformers and that movie Fury. But he gets saved during the movie Fury. He's reading the Bible and he gets saved. And when he's given his testimony to the media, he says, this is not just some game. This is a real transformation, a real living relationship that I have with God now. So God might drop someone in your heart that you might go, Angelina Jolie, put her down. Believe for her this year. Believe if it's your loved one. Believe. By faith, you mightn't see it right now. But by faith, if God drops it in, you take hold of those things and you believe and you hold on to these things. And you start believing what God wants to do. Can you imagine the personal growth that that Noah had? When people were saying, you're gone mad, you're off your head. He's like, no, I'm believing. I'm standing firm. And sometimes you have to do this. You have to stop listening. The people, Say, no, I'm believing God. And we have to exercise our faith this year. If not, our faith seed will just stay the same size. And there's no personal growth in our faith walk with Jesus. It's not willy-nilly. That's why I'm asking you now to listen to God. He'll put things in your heart right now. Believe for that person. Yeah, there it is. I'm going to capture that now. Even loved ones, when they come to you and say, no, you can't be, even Christians, even pastors. I remember it there. Well, I don't know. Sorry, Jay, to expose this in front of everybody. How long are you out of prison? 2 years? 2 years. Jay and Adele. Jay came and says, I think I want to go out with that girl. What do you think? And we walked around this block and I said, she's a feisty one, but go for it. And anyway, then Jay ends up getting locked up because of a crime he committed before being a believer. And I'm sorry for the details. 3 years, 26 months, with a bit of relief, he'd been out and whatever, 8 months. But locked up, bang, I was in the prison, I was in the court when he got locked up. And one day, like I used to go to the prison every Friday, and we'd sit and talk and go through scriptures, and my goal was in 18 months he'd be ready for ministry, discipleship every Friday. And so we go up, and anyway, one Sunday, Adele says to me, Jay is going to be out. Now, forgive me for the details, but Jay is going to be standing in church with me next Sunday. And I'm like, she's new in the faith. You know, I'm like, everything in me wants to protect her. And the Lord says, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And I said, amen. Which means, so be it. I agree with what you believe. But I know other people, etc. Now, they're going to be in for a big letdown. I'm telling you, the following Sunday, Jay was standing over there. Decided, the following Sunday, they threw him out of prison. They couldn't keep a righteous man in prison. They couldn't keep him in. It was wrong for them. The governor, it's wrong for me to keep this man in prison. There's such a transformation in his life. And they kicked him out. And the next week he was standing over there with Adele. And it's like, amazingly, the ones that were supposed to celebrate were trying to, even if it's out of protection. It's amazing, I guarantee you, who came to Moses, Noah, and says, Noah, imagine the missus. No, you're going off your head. This is not right. Sorry, honey, I love you. The determination that comes with faith and to see it realized is not willy-nilly. It's not for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted. And this year, I believe God wants us to grow. Each one of us. Like the Lord says to me during the day, what are we bringing to the table now? What are you bringing to the table now? What are you going to believe me for? What are you going to write down? I want you to write it down. I want you to leave it in your notes on your phone. And next year, take her out and see. Your growth, see did God come true, see did you stand believing. Because here's the thing, it's not just about believing. That's the first part of it. But Noah built the ark. He put action to what he was believing. So there's no good action in saying, we're going to go to Africa, but they're still living in Bradford. They had to put an action to what they were believing in. So if we're believing for somebody to be saved this year, invite them to church. Put an action to it. Oh, you're mad. Oh, it doesn't matter if they refuse me the first time. I'm still believing. I'm going to believe at the end of this year, you're going to be worshiping God. I believe that God put your name in my heart while I was in church on the first Sunday of 2015, and you're coming to church whether you realize it or not, and I'm going to battle for you in the heavenlies. I'm going to take the blinkers off you. I'm going to stand. Even if you go 100 miles that way, I'm believing that God will bring you right around and have you sitting in church, believing, saved, knowing, full of the Holy Spirit, knowing the purposes of God for your life. Growth step. It says this about Jesus in Luke chapter 5. When Jesus had finished the parables. Oh yeah, by the way, it's impossible to please God without faith. What are you bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table this year? What am I going to believe God for this year? Am I going to believe him for healing and for deliverance of my own life? I'm going to write that down, Lord. I'm believing that pain, that sin, that entrapment. I'm believing I'm going to break free this year from this. I believe this is my year. of freedom of guilt, freedom of pain, freedom of sorrow. I'm going to be free of that grief this year. I'm going to be free of that sickness this year. I believe in you for something, Lord. I'm not just going to wander through this year not believing for anything. I'm asking you to drop it in my heart, the things you've prayed for, the things that you've struggled with. Write that sucker down. Bring it to the table. Lord, I'm believing you for this. And when even if I go 100 miles away from where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to come back believing June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. And next January, I'm going to take you. It's amazing. God is amazing. I'm telling you, God is amazing. He wants to do amazing things this year. Go home, anoint yourself with oil. Just put yourself on the table. Here I am, Lord. You want to send me to Mozambique? Send me. You want to send me to serve washing feet? Send me. You want me to look after the kids in kids' clubs? Send me. You want me to go out to the homeless? Send me, Lord. Here I am. I don't want to go just through another year wandering through as a Christian, taking clatters and punches every direction. I'm determined. Jesus says, my face is like flint. I'm going to Jerusalem. Jesus, I won't let them take you. Simon Peter says, relax, son. I know where I'm going. See, when you know what you're supposed to build, when you know what you're supposed to believe, you're not going to be just led astray by everyone's or anyone else's understanding of what they think God's plan for your life is. Look, I know. I know. And when I know, I'm going to go. Amen? Here's what happens. Jesus, he moved on, telling some parables. He came to his hometown. He began teaching the synagogue, in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get the wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did he get these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not honored in... A prophet is without honor except in his hometown and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Matthew 13. He didn't do anything there because they reduced him to be something he wasn't. He was Mary's son, but that's not all he was. He was God's son. He was God in the flesh. He was the miracle-working God. He was the one that walked on water. He's the one that fed the 5,000. And when they reduced Jesus down to something lower than what he was, because of their lack of faith in who he was, they didn't see nothing. And if we just go through this year, and we're just accepting that, it's like last year. No, I'm believing God for something because he can do more than I can imagine or think. I'm not going to reduce Jesus down to some psychotherapist, some yoga guru, or some type of wise man. He is God. And if he is God and I have impossible things and he's the God of the impossible, well, I'm going to bring the impossibilities to the table. And I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm not reducing you to someone's picture. I'm not reducing you to Noel's picture of who you are. I'm exalting you to who you really are. And he says he couldn't do miracles there because of a lack of faith. And this is what I believe God wants. He wants to stretch our faith. Come on. He wants to bring us to the faith gym. A few of them, whatever they are. He wants to bring us in. What are you believing for? What are you going to believe him for this year? You look at it without faith. You go, why am I not seeing him? Because I'm not believing for that. I'm just believing for the next offense. An offense robs me faith. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to just keep my face like flint. And here's the opposite. One day Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. Who came from every village? The teachers of the law. The Pharisees. The big guns came. Galilee, Judea, even the Jerusalem teachers came. And he came to catch Jesus out. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this, because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, there was a reaction in Jesus. And he said, "Son, friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking. You know, Jesus is a mind reader. He knows what you're thinking, right? Knowing what they were thinking, he asked them, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were all filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Why? Because four men decided that the crowd wasn't going to keep them out of experiencing who Jesus was. They couldn't get in the door. It says, "We're going to the roof. We're going to the roof." Can you imagine when they said, see, atmosphere of heaven on earth is voice activated. Imagine one of them saying, because you always get, you know, in this room, you know, like, we're going to Jesus. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And then one of the guys on the four team, because I guarantee there was four different personality types, obviously, "Can't do it now. There's a big crowd." Doing it today, son. There's no tomorrow for that man. But imagine, and even factual things. Like, it's crowded. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Facts doesn't equal truth. Facts are just facts. When someone says there's a roof, I bet you they used to rob lead in their old days. There's a roof. That moment, that whoever said that, someone had to say a roof. Faith was activated. Because this is a voice activation thing. It's a declaration thing. That's why I'm getting us to write it down. That's why I want us to think it and say it and write it. It's because it's going to come out. It's easy to keep it private because then you're not putting that on the line. It's easy to keep when you're living in faith, when you're moving by faith, there's something always on the line. Your reputation might be on the line. How good a Christian you are might be on the line. Whether you really hear from God or not might be on the line. But I want to tell you, I'd rather look foolish than be disobedient. Even if I get it wrong, I'm believing God put something in my heart and I'm going to go for it. I'm believing 100%. I'm not making it up. It's not willy-nilly, but I believe God has put this there. That might be your case. Leave your job and go to Africa. These guys had good jobs, sir. Mike was an estate agent, wasn't he? I think, same. Leave a job. It might look foolish to everybody. Go and take off someone's roof? Yeah. Go and be determined? Yeah. Someone has to say, yeah, I'm going to believe for this Jesus. I'm not going to just believe for someone to be rescued. I don't want to just believe for someone from something in my own heart. Write down, "I will be healed." Write it down, what you want healed. But I also want to be moving in the purpose and plans of God. I want to be determined to get up on that roof and to get before Jesus to serve people. Because Noah didn't only believe in faith for himself, but it was to save his family. The outwork of this is for others. I grow as a Christian. I grow as a believer in my faith. But the beneficiaries is usually other people. What am I believing for? They've gotten before Jesus. They said, "I'm getting them to the table. This is what I'm putting on the table. He's paralyzed. He can heal. I believe in Jesus can do this." He just got them before Jesus. I was 2 years ago, I think it was. And I think it was my greatest venture in faith. For me it was anyway. This building was a great venture of faith, but this one was even better. For me, in personal growth in God. you remember 2 years ago, we were doing the great big day out. We had them storms and thunder and lightning and rain for the month of July. Anyone remember 2 years ago? And yeah. In fact, I just heard a report. I was watching a program looking over the last year, and I heard a report, and it said this was the year Ireland was nearly washed away. That will capture how bad the rain was. And we were doing the great day out just across the road, and it looked brutal. Like, it was worst weather ever. And I was at a radio station speaking, and your man off air says to me, "What about your great big day out? You know, it's due for thunderstorms on Saturday," which was on Saturday. And I said, "Yeah, but it's going to stop raining." Now, I don't know why I said that, but he goes, "What do you mean it's going to stop raining?" I says, "No, it's not going to rain. God's going to stop the rain." And I don't know why I said that. I can't say God told me that. But in hindsight, that declaration ignited something in the heavens that was now beyond even me, that I couldn't take back. It had gone. It was declared. And I thought that was the end of it. Now we go on national radio, and he brings up the subject again, which I'm sitting there going, bang his head off something. Do you know what I mean? He's challenging me nearly in front of whoever is listening, which was national radio program. And so he says, "Noel, I looked up the BBC Met Office on the internet, and that is the best in the world," he says, "over air. And they said it's going to be thunderstorms, but you're saying it's not going to rain now on Saturday." I'm like, thanks, buddy. Did that bus just go by that you threw me under? But something happened inside of me that I says, it's not going to rain. And I was pointing at him. It's not going to rain. That weather is going to change. And he said, "Why?" And he said, I says, "Because God is going to make the sun shine, because he loves the people of my community. And therefore it's going to stop." And then he goes, "All right, but there is weather storms." I'm like, "It's not going to rain." You know, some part of me was like, "What am I after doing?" But this thing is voice activated. There was a declaration gone out. I would like him to say God told me, but I just said it. Somehow God honored that faith step. So the guys will tell you who was here. "Noel, we need an alternative. I want to have an alternative. Because we're going to bring it indoors." It was like, I'm building the ark. That's it. I wasn't being stubborn. I wasn't being not listening to anybody in the sense that, look, I said it, that's the word. It was like, I knew I had to block people out. Sharon, you know, people can say and they can go home. But Sharon was saying, and I had to go home with her. And I banned Sharon from mentioning the weather. I said, "It's not going to rain, full stop. Don't mention the rain to me again." And I knew this. And every now and then I got human and I go, "Is that right, Lord?" But I knew it. I knew this. And I remember picking Michael McNamee up on a Saturday, who was a guy that people know. And I was picking him up from the airport on the Saturday. And I got up at 5 a.m. and I was like, "My goodness, Lord, it's bucketing down." I picked Michael up from the airport. And Michael goes, "When is that outreach on?" And I says, "Today at 12 o'clock. He says, "But it's lashing out." I says, "Michael, it's going to stop." Kitchen off, guys. The rain stopped. And not only did the rain stop, the sun came out. And not only that, the guys, I didn't see this, but the guy says, it's just there, that field. And the guy says, "Noel," they were coming back and forth from here to there, getting stuff and bringing stuff. And they said it was just a patch of breaking the cloud just over where we were having the outreach. And it was like everything else was dark and black and just over airplanes. I tell you what, God honored faith. God honored faith. God somehow honored that declaration. I'm believing God for this. Why? Because he loves people. Not only that, but we all have sunburn. Typical Irish red nose rednecks. Or they're loving to ring a man up in the radio station but hadn't got his number. God will come through for you. The Bible says, "They that honor God, God will honor them." And you can't honor God more in any way than having faith in who he is and what he can do. Did you write down anything? If you did, put up your hand. something that you believe in God for. Some people want to be great givers in this church. I believe God wants to stretch a faith to give. And I'm believing God to give this much this year. I'm writing it down. I want to believe He's going to give me and bring that into my life so that I can give it to the church. Some are going to believe for family members. I'm going to write the names down. I'm going to pray for them. And when the rain keeps coming down, I'm going to still believe. And when people say it's raining out now, it's bucketing down, I'm believing God. When people say, why don't you change tack? Why don't you change your prayer? I'm still believing. You're going to look like a fool. I'm still believing. I'd rather look like a fool than be disobedient. At least I'm allowing my faith to be stretched to see God do something incredible. But if I just stay like the rest, same as last year, oh, Jesus this or Jesus that, like them in the Bible, you won't see it. You won't see it. Or you may see it by the grace of God, but there'll be no growth in it for you. And here she is now. I'm going to listen. So let's stand. And when he saw their faith, can the worship team come back? And when he saw their faith, he was moved. And heaven was released on earth. When he saw their faith. You may be believing, or you come in, if I just get through this year. Like I know this year has been hard for many of us. Many, many of us. Individually and collectively, that was a hard year for Liberty. And something happens in me, and forgive me if you wrote this on Facebook or whatever. But you know, like we go, I'm glad to see the back of that year. I don't know. I don't want us to say that next year. I don't want us to say that. We've been beaten up this year sometimes. We failed along the way. Had defeats, we've been knocked around. But you know, I say to Sharon every year, I say, we're still here, Sharon. Every year I say that, I'm still here. You're still here. We're still serving God. We're still believing God for something beyond ourselves. And I celebrate that. That doesn't mean that we haven't got a bad year. That doesn't mean we haven't got a hard year. It doesn't mean we didn't fail. It doesn't mean all of that. It doesn't mean we're denying all that. But we're celebrating God's grace that we're still here. And that you're still here. And of all of the things that could have taken you out this year, listen, it hasn't. It hasn't done it. In fact, I guarantee you, it will have made you stronger when you're out of that storm. I guarantee you that your belief in God will have gone up a few notches because of last year. And 2015, I want us to go, I'm celebrating. I was ridiculed. I'm celebrating because I see the ark. I was mocked. I don't care. There's the act. There's the proof of my faith in God. There's the proof that God is faithful to his promises. I was knocked around for what I believed. I don't care. I have the proof. I'm holding the baby, said Sarah. You can doubt all you want, but I'm the one with the baba. Moses, you're crazy going in against Pharaoh. You can say how crazy, I'm crazy all you want, but I'm the one walking out with a nation. We celebrate. We shake off what we need to shake off because we don't want to go into New Year with no faith or a lack of faith. The Bible says that each one of us have a measure of faith. This year, God wants to increase your measure. And that only comes by exercising it. See those guns of mine? Exactly. When you've seen this year coming, you'll be able to sit on them and look and see it's raining in Ballyer. Only if I go and exercise them. The same with your faith, in my faith. Only if I exercise it. So did you write anything down? If you didn't, write it now. God put this word in my heart, and I know he honors. I can't hear him. That thought that you dismissed earlier, that was God. No, but that's too big for me. I'm just little Noah. You want me to build a big ark. Dismiss it. You're not seeing an ark. The doctors told me A, B, C, and D. And God has spoken to you and said, no, believe me for that. You dismiss it, you're not seeing the ark. Father, I ask that you breathe upon us right now. Do you know, I know this probably wasn't, it's not always a pleasant thing for all of us. But I remember when my dad would come in from work. And back when we were really young, imagine there was 10 boys. And there was at least 4 in the double bed. Up the top and down the bottom. And my ma used to call it the shallow end and the deep end. Some of us are bedwetters. Well, that's a joke, by the way. I could swim from an early age. And my dad had come in from work. He had this big coat he wore. And he put it over us. And just, there was a, you know, I don't know what you call it, but it was my dad's smell. And it was like when he'd put it over us, he'd go up to the top end and make sure it's over us, and then down the bottom end, make sure it's over. Somehow we were all getting a good measure of the coat. But when he breathed upon us, in some way we knew it was all right. We knew another level of safety, another level of protection. My dad was a hard worker, 40 years with the same company. We knew there was provision. Even though we didn't use these words, it was all wrapped up in that, just his breath. I just believe the Father just wants to breathe upon us. He wants to say to you, girl, you're going to be all right. Believe me. He wants you to say, son, I'm a great provider. I can remember like the measure of the coat being equally measured out between us. God is a Father that is absolutely incredible. Gives incredible attention to detail. He just knows how much you need, and what you need, and when you need it. Believe Him. And Lord, I just ask that you'd breathe upon us as we sing this song. You are our God. We trust you this day, this year, going in, Lord. We're saying we want to be a people of faith. A people that don't have to see it to believe it. But people who will experience what's unseen now, we will experience it as a seen thing in the future. I pray for this year, Lord. Pray, Lord, pray for household salvations. And I'm believing you for household salvations this year. I met a young traveler girl yesterday, 13 years of age. The Holy Spirit touched her heart. She went back to her family. They all thought she was mad. Dragged her off to the local church, denominational church. And she said, even though they thought I was mad, I couldn't get away from what I experienced that day. 2 years ago, she experienced a breakdown in marriage and divorce. Oh, she's not 13 anymore. She moved on. I say she was about 23 by the looks of her. She says, I didn't know where to go, who to turn to. But I remembered when I was 13. The God who touched my life, I turned to Him again. He touched my life again. And all of our family now, Mom, Dad, they were all in the car. They were all saved. The young girl didn't. She says, I believed for my family. And I just, when I was talking to them, I was like, household salvations. That's what I'm writing down. Not just ones and twos, but the whole Gansey load of them. And Lord, I ask that you breathe upon us. I ask that you breathe upon what we wrote down. We committed to you and submitted to you, Lord. And Lord, we're going to be obedient when you tell us to act. And we're going to stand firm, Lord, even when the weather is the opposite. We're not changing roads. We're not going to jump onto another path. We're going to say, Lord, I'm going to set my face like flint. I'm going to believe this year. I'm going to put myself on the line. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe. I'm going to declare. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to call them in. I'm going to cast out the nets. I'm going to break the bread. I'm going to bring the wine and have communion. I'm going to believe, Lord God. I'm going to build my faith up. I'm going to get into your word, Lord, knowing that you can do all things. I'm going to allow myself to be built up in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray tongues more this year than I did last year, Lord. I'm going to believe, Lord, and act out in the gifts of the Spirit more than I did last year. I'm going to move in the fruits of the Spirit more than I've ever desired in my life, Lord. I'm going to be a man of truth, a woman of truth. I'm going to speak faith. I'm not going to speak what we can't get in. I'm going to speak how can we get in. There is a way. There's always a way with God. He can make a way in the desert. He can make springs spring up in desert places. He can part red seas. He can heal the sick. He can make the blind see. Lord, I'm going to build my faith up this year. I'm going to listen to those who are faith builders, oh God. I'm going to get sermons. I'm going to read books, Lord, that those who will help me build my faith up in who you are, Lord God. Lord, I'm not limping through this year. I'm not going to look back on 2015 saying, I'm glad to see the back of that. I'm going to use 2015 as a platform for 2016, Lord God. I'm going to use this year as a platform for the next years ahead of me, for me and my family, Lord God. Lord, we bless you, Lord God.